OpenServe is more than just SA's largest telecoms infrastructure provider. It's the answer to new ways of doing business, a connection to cutting-edge technology and infinite possibilities, a connection to tomorrow. Connect with us at openserve.co.za.
This episode of the Tech Central podcast is brought to you by Pinnacle, Africa's top ICT distribution business, delivering the exceptional every time. I'm Duncan MacLeod, and you're listening to the Tech Central podcast. I'm on a Skype call now with Jaco Gerrits, a tech entrepreneur and app developer who has just released what looks to be a very interesting new or newish app that will alert authorities if you ever get involved in an accident. Called Crash Detect, the mobile app can auto-detect a medical emergency in real time. Jaco, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks a lot, Duncan. Thanks a lot for having me.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Before we chat about Crash Detect, Jaco, tell me a bit about your background.
I've been in the tech industry for the last 16 years now. Always had a keen interest in tech. I started off with a development company providing like outsourced development services to the mining industry. And out of that, it was a logical progression. And we ended up building a platform called Tembela, where we assisted mining companies with their social and labor plan commitments. So specifically around job creation, supply development in local communities where the mines operate, and also providing some support services to local municipalities. So that's really why I started as an entrepreneur. I always tell people I've had many, many failures since, or what I probably call today good lessons. We dabbled around with psychometric evaluation, so electronic tools within the corporate environment. I actually did report bad driving per SMS many, many years ago, service rating per SMS. We had dent pits where we do auto body repairs via smartphone app as well. So there's been many, many ventures. I always tell people many more failures than successes, but also great lessons that I've learned like over the last 16 years.
Well, they say the failures make the entrepreneur. So.
True that.
So let's talk a bit about Crash Detect. The app detects a serious vehicle crash, pinpoints your location, dispatches the nearest ambulance, and provides paramedics with vital information. How does it work exactly, and how does it know when you need help?
Yeah, so we've developed a smart drive detection algorithm. So once the app is installed, you forget about it. So as soon as you start driving, the app will activate itself, or the crash detection algorithm will activate itself. If you're involved in a serious car crash, just a short technical explanation. What happens is we monitor a couple of sensors on the phone, obviously GPS to pinpoint your location, then also the accelerometer and gyro. So what happens the accelerometer, it's typically used for screen orientation. So if you tilt your device, obviously it will change from portrait to landscape. But using a pretty smart algorithm, we're also able to determine the amount of force that's applied on the phone. So obviously in a serious vehicle crash, there's serious forces involved or G-forces involved. We've developed this algorithm that's able to detect if there's serious force applied on the phone whilst driving. And then also secondly, more importantly, the algorithm is able to eliminate what we call false positives. So let's say you drop the phone. So it is able to differentiate between the two in order to drive down the false positive rate. So if a crash is detected, the location is pinpointed, and then it's fed into our emergency medical services call center. And then it's a qualified paramedic that will phone you back. And the workflow is as follows. If they phone you and you answer it, you confirm that you need assistance, obviously we'll dispatch the nearest ambulance. If you don't answer, then we're going to assume worst-case scenario and also dispatch the nearest ambulance.
All right. So does it work across all smartphones, or do you need phones that have the specific technologies like accelerometers built into them?
Yeah, so the accelerometer is a pretty common sensor on smartphone devices nowadays. So any device basically that's able to do screen orientation or dynamic screen reorientation is able to run the app. And we support Android 4.2 and up, and then iOS 7 and later.
Mm-hmm. I was interested in what you said about being able to differentiate between a phone falling on the floor and a vehicle crash. How do you tell the difference? I mean, surely there's similar sort of motions that would happen.
Yeah, no. So what we've done is we've actually developed a machine learning algorithm. So we literally had students that were dropping phones. So this algorithm becomes smarter and smarter over time. So it analyzes the pattern, especially when there's a threshold breach, so if there's significant force that's applied on the phone, and it's able to differentiate between different patterns. And obviously the only way that you can do that is to build up a massive data set and then use machine learning algorithm techniques in order to differentiate between the different patterns. So technically it was a little bit of a bigger challenge than we initially thought it was going to be.
Sure.
But also just again coming back to the workflow, there's still a chance of a false positive. I mean, no technology is perfect. So what we've done is as soon as a crash is detected, we unlock the screen. There's a voice that you'll hear over the speaker that says crash detected, emergency countdown initiated, and then there's a 20-second alarm. Mm-hmm. So as the alarm counts down, you basically hear it every second, so it definitely draws your attention. And let's assume there was a false positive. The user still has the option to cancel the countdown, to obviously not pass the emergency request into the emergency medical services call center.
So what is the false positive rate at the moment?
The false positive rate is sitting below 1%. I think actually we're sitting at about 0.35% at the moment.
Wow, that's pretty impressive. That's pretty impressive. So, Jaco, what motivated you to develop this?
Well, it was a natural progression out of previous work that we've done in the automotive industry with Dentbits, which is the app that we've developed to assist you with auto body repair quotes. So I was actually reading about different sensors because I'm always reading about, new technical releases and what's available on smartphones and then applying my mind in terms of commercial use or applications. So I was reading about the accelerometer sensor and I don't know, the thought literally just popped into my head that we could potentially use this in a different way, specifically around vehicle crashes. So I started investigating some of the technical constraints that we'd obviously have to address. But then also very importantly, I said, well, is this really a big enough problem that we have to try and solve? And when I started investigating like road accident fatalities, I only realized how big the problem really was. So we've got 1.3 million fatalities worldwide. Obviously, in South Africa, we're well aware of the challenges that we have. But there's an international campaign that's running called the Decade of Action for Road Safety. And there's five pillars. The one pillar that's related to what we do is called post-crash response. And basically what they say, how quickly and effectively respond to emergency situation. Let's say there was a vehicle crash, really could make a massive difference. And it's within that space that I realized that we could probably launch a technical solution that could be of value. And yeah, obviously, again, the technical development was very tough, but also the commercial application was very important. So we actually tested the idea and also appetite for the idea prior to actually doing any dev, just to see what obviously our prospective market would say about the solution. We had to make a couple of small changes in order to get a good solution market fit. We jumped into the development and yeah, we've got Crash Detect today and also very proud of the solution that we have.
And the development work, was it done here in South Africa? Do you have a team of developers?
So, it's a combination. We've got an engineering team sitting in Cape Town. We've got a back-end team sitting in Centurion. We've got an Android team sitting in India. And we've got an iOS team sitting in Ukraine. Okay. So I think that's the great thing about technology companies nowadays is that skills are accessible like anywhere. We're really like keen to partner with the right kind of companies in terms of the different development services that we require specifically for this application.
Out of interest, how is it working with offshore development partners in India and elsewhere? Do you find it's fairly easy to manage the development process, or is it kind of difficult working with developers who are in different time zones?
I actually had this discussion with the entrepreneur yesterday. I think the benefit that I have is that I've got a strong dev and technical background. And I think where the mismatch occurs is where you are unable to like clearly define the requirement specification. So a lot of people come up with a one-page specification, and their assumption of what that one page means is not aligned to what the development company thinks it means. So I think the important thing is really to be able to clearly specify what the feature requirements should look like, to document that well and for that to form part of the relationship and also contract that you have in place with offshore suppliers. So my personal preference is still to do code reviews and still to challenge developers in terms of the hour requirements for specific features. And I think, again, it counts to my favor the fact that I've got the dev background, technical background. And if anything, I tell entrepreneurs, if you don't have that strong technical background, it might be risky to outsource offshore. So maybe rather go for a local development partner that can help you with the requirement specification, that can talk to you in person. But if you've got that skill set, then yes, there's definitely a lot of savings to be had if you outsource offshore.
So how long has the app been available now?
So the app has been available for, I'm speaking under correction here, but I think it's been 2 years now.
2 years? Oh, it's been out for a while. Okay.
Yeah, it's been out for a while.
And how many users have you signed up to date?
Yeah, so we're close to breaching the 10,000 user mark, but we've also just recently really started scaling up our campaigns. And I know that we're onboarding roughly 100 users per day at the moment. And also, I mean, the scaling plan is to really aggressively start growing that towards the end of the year. So we found a mechanism now where we're really happy with the acquisition cost and also the benefit structure and also the USP that we put in front of the customer. So I think we're very likely to see aggressive growth towards the end of the year.
Mm-hmm. And is it mainly a South African audience that you have?
Yeah, so we only have the South African audience, and the reason for that is, again, the emergency medical services. So yes, on one side, we've got the app, but on the other side, we've obviously got the emergency medical services call center, and then lastly, we also provide access to the largest national network of emergency medical personnel. So it's very important to have the relationship, obviously, with the EMS providers in order to dispatch the nearest ambulance. So it's not just the app. It's actually a much bigger network of service providers that we are also reliant on. So if we want to go into a new territory, the reality is that we always have to establish those kind of relationships with mm-hmm. the local EMS providers. So if it's, let's say, a state provider or it's a private provider, we obviously need to establish those relationships.
Do you have plans to internationalize? Are there other markets that you're currently looking at?
Yeah, so we're actually in discussions with a number of markets. There's two sides to the business. We've got a B2B model where we license the core crash detection technology to third parties. So the crash detection technology can be embedded in third-party apps. So where it's very relevant is obviously within insurance companies. For example, we've done a deal with First for Women and Auto in general. So you would have seen probably some of the campaigns that they're running as well. And then on the other side, we've got B2C where we sell our own subscriptions into the market. So when it comes to the offshore opportunities, currently what we're looking at heavily is the licensing component. So doing a B2B deal where we could potentially license to a telco or insurer where they can embed this benefit for their members. So yeah, there's strong interest. But again, the sales cycle is always a long one with the bigger corporates. But yeah, we are making good progress with some of the offshore entities.
Could you possibly look at embedding this technology into vehicles, talking to car manufacturers to, not necessarily embed a whole cell phone, but embed the components within the cell phone, like the accelerometer, into a vehicle to make this an offering that car manufacturers can bring to market?
Yeah, so there's actually already a couple of car manufacturers that offer crash detection technology. BMW is one of them.
Right.
So I think what more of the OEMs would do going forward is look at this type of technology. So obviously I think it's going to be a slow progression in terms of introducing this, because over and above the crash detection technology, also need to have the services in place in terms of what you do once the crash has been detected. But yeah, the OEMs, I think over time, they will definitely use it. But the reality is that there's always going to be older vehicles on the road. And reality is also that you're always going to be dependent on let's say in South Africa, taxis, or let's say Ubers that you'll use. And at the end of the day, the good thing about this is that the benefit travels with you as a person. It's not attached to the vehicle. So even if you're driving with a friend or you're using a taxi, then you still cover.
Mm-hmm. So if I download this app and install it on my phone, is there a monthly fee that I pay?
Yeah, so we offer various subscription packages. The free app download allows you to basically see how the app works. It gives you 30 free trips per month. It doesn't include 24/7 medical emergency assist. So if you're involved in a car crash, it's only your emergency contacts that will be notified.
Mm-hmm.
And then the paid options, we start off at R49 a month, which includes crash alert, a medical emergency button that can be pressed at any time, medical emergency assist, which is basically our 24/7 emergency emergency call center and then access to the largest national network of EMS personnel. And we also include a cover component and then medical ID, which is an ID that's sent to you on registration, which you can place in the back right window of the vehicle, which paramedics can scan or obviously call the number in order to get your medical information as well. So just on that point, we not only detect the crash, we also have all of your medical information on hand. So what would happen is if we dispatch the ambulance, we also supply the paramedics, obviously, with your medical information, which is actually quite a big problem in South Africa, with 1 out of 8 people receiving incorrect medical treatment simply because there's a lack of medical information. So that's the 4 benefits that forms part of the classic product. Then we've got premium, which includes all of the benefits I've just mentioned now, and Family Protect over and above. So Family Protect allows you to install the app on up to 5 phones. So it's basically there for family cover. And then a benefit called road cover, where we'll facilitate your claim against the road accident fund free of charge, and you also get the full settlement amount. And then Elite for $109 a month, which is all the benefits of premium. But over and above that, we include Road Secure. So Road Secure is a button on the phone. If you press that, we'll dispatch an armed security guard anywhere in South Africa, which will arrive within 30 minutes. And that's specifically if you feel unsafe next to the side of the road after a breakdown. And then lawyer alert. So if lawyer alert, let's say you end up in a police station, we'll dispatch a criminal lawyer anywhere in South Africa to represent you in person and then also to apply for bail. So what we've done, Duncan, is we've really looked at the different needs of our consumers, so specifically South African road users, and then say not only around medical but also legal and security needs. How can we build a subscription package that takes care of that, I don't want to call it frustration, but maybe need of South African road users.
It's almost like insurance in a way, I suppose.
I think, yeah, to a certain extent, you can probably call it that.
Yeah. So the Elite package is $109 a month.
It's $109 a month, yeah.
And the premium is? $49.
Say again?
The premium package is $49 a month, is it?
So the classic package is $49.
Yeah.
Then premium is $89. And Elite is $109.
Okay. All right. So, Yaku, developing apps and building an ecosystem like this doesn't exactly come cheap, I'd imagine. Did you raise funding to do this?
So I was in a privileged position where I've had multiple startups over the years, so we had some successes in between all of the different failures. But I think more importantly, because I mean we get this question a lot in terms of the risk that we had to incur just in terms of developing the app, because technically again it was a big challenge. So it's not a typical app that you develop. So reality was for me that we had to test the concept first and make sure that we can actually effectively distribute and also commercialize. And what we've done is we've actually tested 3 different channels before we even started with the app development. And I think it falls in line with the lean startup methodology. So I mean nowadays most people are online, or most of your prospective customers are online. So we literally built lead and sales funnels using app screenshots of the app that did not yet exist, and we tested the appetite. And initially there was not enough appetite for the unique selling proposition that we put in front of people, and we had to refine. So we literally did that for about a 2-3 month period to find out how we could effectively distribute this product. And only once we got to a point where we said, okay, we've got 3 distribution channels that makes commercial sense, and we also identified price points, that's actually when we only started with the dev of the project. And luckily, I was in a fortunate position to obviously pay for that myself.
Great. So it's available on Android and iOS. Do you just go into the respective app stores and search for Crash Detect?
Absolutely. So what I would do is I just recommend listeners to go to the website, crashdetect.com. So if you go to crashdetect.com, you can register an account over there, and it will send you SMS and email with app download instructions. The only reason I say that is on iOS, if you download the app, you won't be able to register on the app itself. And the only reason for that is because of Apple. So we don't use the Apple payment system. And as a result, Apple prevents you from allowing a registration functionality in the app. So I recommend that people just go to the website, register their account over there, and then they'll receive the app download instructions via SMS and email.
Is that because, do you do that with Apple because of the 30% cut that they take from the store?
Exactly. Okay. Exactly. So we work with a number of third parties in terms of distribution, and we'd much rather get the 30% to go some of the distribution partners compared to Apple.
Right. And does Google not do the same thing?
Well, to a certain extent, they do. So there's apps that's classified as ones that obviously need to pay over the fee. We are one of the apps that are in the gray area because we still firmly believe that we provide a physical service because it's an actual paramedic that we dispatch, an actual ambulance. So that's really the service. The app is just an enabler of the service. So anything that is an electronic service, for example, a music streaming service or, let's say, a video watching service, is completely electronic. And as a result, you have to pay the 30%. Mm. But the middle ground for Apple is to say you are not allowed to have a registration feature, whereas with Google, they're a little bit more lenient, luckily.
Interesting. Interesting stuff. Well, Jaco Gerets is the developer of Crash Detect. That's TECH. And the website is crashdetect.com. Jaco, it's been fascinating. Thank you for talking to Tech Central today.
Thanks so much, Duncan. Appreciate it a lot.